Welcome to the Mr. Vincent Podcast, episode 136. I'm your host, Emmanuel Vincent. Happy Friday Eve to everybody. Hope everybody's week has been going well also. The weekend's almost here. I know, I can't wait. And also, what's here today is the restart of the NBA season. As we are heading now into the final stretch of the season, seeing now that All-Star break is over. So last night I just recorded for a little bit, just talking about a couple of the storylines that I'm looking at as the final stretch approaches, and also give who I think will be in the conference, NBA finals from the East and West, and gave my predictions on who was going to win the NBA championship. Because I don't think I did that early on in this year, so I thought it was only right to do that. And also talked about something that I like that I've seen in the league thus far. But we can actually get into this episode right now. Here it is. All right, so the NBA season is set to resume tomorrow, so I thought it was only right that I come on and do an episode talking about a few things that I'm looking forward to, as the NBA is essentially in the final stretch of the season with the All-Star break being over. First up, I want to talk about the LA Clippers, who I never thought would be legit contenders, but they damn sure look like it this season. Third in the West right now, 36-17, easily the deepest team in the league, 1-12. You can't debate that. Boston has a strong 5-6, but 1-12, it has to go to the LA Clippers. As a Lakers fan, I'm disgusted, but I just can't hate. James Harden, I think, is the main reason as to why the LA Clippers are as good as they are right now. He was traded on Halloween from Philly. Him, along with PJ Tucker, were traded, and Philip Petrovic, I'm sorry if I'm butchering his name, traded for Marcus Morris, Robert Covington, Nick Batum, KJ Martin, a 28 protected first round pick, 2 second round picks, a 29 pick swap, and an additional first round pick from OKC. That is what transpired, and it was a rocky start for them. But the first several games, then something changed, and that was when Russell Westbrook elected to come off the bench, and that just changed everything for the LA Clippers. And you have to give Russell Westbrook a lot of credit. I'm a Lakers fan. I wasn't a fan at all of Russell Westbrook coming to the Lakers. Not saying I don't like him. I love Russell Westbrook's game. It's just his style of play, I felt, didn't really mesh with LeBron and AD, and I was just dumbfounded that the Lakers would actually elect to trade for him, seeing how he doesn't really at all space the floor. And LeBron has had success in this league when he's been surrounded by shooters, where he's able to operate with an open lane and able to finish at the rim or elect to kick out to a shooter for the shot. And that's not really Russell Westbrook's game. He's more ball dominant. So that just, to me, didn't make any sense. And I was right, because they were pretty awful. But at the same time, Russ caught a lot of heat. I felt that was just a little overboard with his criticism while he was with the Lakers. He's not a bad player at all. Clearly going to be a future first ballot Hall of Famer, top 75 player, and rightfully so. But basketball is just more about, you know, fit and pieces to a puzzle. And that just didn't really mesh with the Lakers. Well, when he got traded to the Clippers, I knew that he was going to have way more success being there, seeing how he fits more with PG and Kawhi. And if you need to, you can have him be with the second unit, and he provides energy, gives you a boost. He can lift you up when your team is lacking that energy. And it's been paying dividends so far, him being in LA. He's been going about everything the right way there. I think he's really silenced a lot of critics so far. Those who have labeled him as being selfish and a ball hog, and he's not really about winning, just more about pat statting. I think that he's done a good job so far with shutting them up. So I'm happy about that. I'm happy about that for the Brody. And he's really accepted his role coming off the bench and being that spark plug that they need. But James Harden has really played well so far in his role, being that point guard. He did look like he was essentially done. Well, not really done. I would say more on the decline during his last season, after the last season ended in game 7 against Boston, when he was with Philly. It didn't look like he had enough left in the tank. Like, he wasn't that MVP caliber player, 3-time scoring champ caliber player that he was in Houston. And while that is true, he is in a perfect situation now, because he doesn't have the burden of having to be a focal point from a scoring standpoint on this team with PG and Kawhi there. Now he's able to relax and focus more on being a playmaker, which he's exceptional at. And he's not going to necessarily draw a primary or secondary defender when they're going up against, let's say, a Boston, or, you know, that's probably going to go to Kawhi and Paul George at first. So he is going to not have as tough as a defensive matchup against them because of the player that he's surrounded with. So it's a good fit for him. He's playing well. Kawhi Leonard, too, is really, really killing it this year. This is actually crazy. Kawhi essentially turned back the hands of time, looking like 2019 Kawhi Leonard. He's averaging right now 24 points a game, about a little over 6 rebounds, and shooting a little close to 53% from the field. He's looking like he's top 5. I always say Kawhi is a top 5 talent, and he's really cerebral. And it's just like, but to me, it was just always, how are we going to rate Kawhi when it's all said and done? I think that's still going to be a struggle as to where we put him amongst the all-time greats, because when he started his career off, he was more of a defensive specialist who was able to provide some offense. But as time passed, he matured into a scoring role, still being one of the best defenders in the league. But at the same time, he's missed so many games over the years due to injuries. But this year, surprisingly, he has played, I believe, in 48 games. So, yeah, he's only missed about 5 games this season, so I believe that's 48. That is crazy that Kawhi has only missed that many games. It feels like right now, if it was last year or the year prior, he probably would be at least 15, 20. But it's good to see that he's healthy. And you see that he is like a little bounce in his step now, where he's, you know, especially when he makes his move, stops, elevates the shoot. You see that spring in his step. Maybe he's had a successful loss season and trying to keep him, like, put up his strength and stay in shape. But it's definitely paying off right now. And maybe the fact that there is a rule implemented now, a 65-game minimum rule, in which players can receive honors such as league MVP and all NBA teams, maybe that plays a factor into the fact that he's playing more now. But whatever it is, I'm happy. I think Kawhi is, when he's like this, you can make an argument he's top 5, top 7 in the league. But the problem with him is that he's just been hurt a lot. But right now he's playing, and I really, really like their chances to come out of the West. Like I mentioned, they're deep. When you got Kawhi, PG, Harden, Mann, Zubac, Russ, Powell, that's a lot of firepower that they have. The only thing right now that it seems like that can stand in their way is really just health. Will their key players, and I'm talking specifically about Kawhi and Paul George, can you rely on them to stay healthy between April and June? That's a lot to ask for based on their track record. I would say more about Kawhi. But if they do, they have a legitimate chance to win the West and the NBA title, I think. Ty Lue is easily top 2-3 coach right now currently in this league. His track record speaks for itself, and they are just they're really on a roll. And it kind of sucks seeing them. As I mentioned, I'm a Lakers fan, and just having the Lakers be the secondary team in LA, not from a perception standpoint, but more just from a basketball standpoint and what's going on right now in the league. Clearly that they're the better team than the Lakers, even though the Lakers, I believe, are 2-0 against them this season. There is no way in hell if the playoffs started tomorrow and they were matched up that the Lakers would be favored to win that series. It just wouldn't happen because clearly the Clippers are the better team. But I really like what I'm seeing from them so far. When I saw what they did against Boston in Boston not too long ago, when they just obliterated Boston on their home floor, the only team outside of the Nuggets to beat the Boston Celtics at home. That was just a masterclass, and that game just showed us like how much talent that the Clippers have and how overwhelming they can be at times. I know Porzingis didn't play in that game, but still, Boston has been relatively solid at home all year, even without Porzingis. But the Clippers were just were a lot to handle for that stellar defense, and I think that they can pose a lot of problems. I don't have them coming out of the West. I can give my take for that later on this pod, but I do think that they have a great chance to advance to the finals. And like I mentioned, what it all, and who would have ever thought about that coming into the season, right? Like I mentioned, Harden wasn't there yet. This team is about to move into a new arena next year in Inglewood, so everything looked like the decks were stacked against them. And obviously, too, as I mentioned, Kawhi and Paul George's history. Kawhi got hurt last year in round one against the Phoenix Suns, which ended up being, I believe, a torn meniscus, and he wasn't able to make it through the rest of the series. But I believe he only played the first two games, and then they lost in five. PG was already out, so he wasn't available. But then James Harden wanted out of Philly. Stop me if you heard that before. James Harden wanting out of a situation. But he got his way again, and he got himself to LA, and now this team is killing it. And I feel like a dummy because once they elected to trade for James Harden and that announcement was made, I just simply tweeted, paraphrasing, just saying that is on brand for the Clippers to make a trade like that. That essentially, you know, just discrediting that would ever work, that would ever have any results, lead to a championship. It hasn't led to a championship yet, but they are a lot better than I thought they would be. So kudos to them. That is really the main storyline that I'm looking at heading into this final stretch of the NBA season. Are the Clippers legit title contenders? Can they make a deep playoff run? Deep, to me, means minimum Western Conference Finals. It's going to be interesting to see where they finish, because matchups can dictate a lot of things. If they were to match up, say, against the Denver Nuggets in round two, and they were to lose, I wouldn't hold that against them, seeing that it's the Denver Nuggets with the best player in the world and the reigning defending champions, the best player in the world being, in my opinion, Nikola Jokic. So if they were to lose to them in round two, would I hold it against them? Not so much. But outside of that, if they weren't to get to the conference finals with the loaded squad, rather with a healthy squad in terms of their stars, then I would think that there would be, it would be fair to critique them to not advance. The only excuse I would give for them is if they were to play the Denver Nuggets in round two. Other than that, I think that they should get at least to the conference finals if they're relatively healthy, because particularly with the key core players. So that is what I'm looking forward to. So the other storyline I'm looking at is the Milwaukee Bucks and the mess that has occurred in Milwaukee. The Milwaukee Bucks are right now 35-21. currently third in the Eastern Conference. Even though they are third in the Eastern Conference, they are not by any means a championship contending team, a legit championship contending team. And when you have a player of Giannis Antetokounmpo's caliber, that is a disappointment because the man is a back-to-back league MVP, NBA champion, and a finals MVP, and a defensive player of the year as well. So with all those accolades on his resume, it's pressure in Milwaukee. Expectation is championship or bust, and they have looked nothing like champions this season. Now, we have to remember that in the offseason, they did elect to trade Jrue Holiday for Damian Lillard, Dame Dollar, Dame Time. That trade was met with some criticism, but a lot of people at the same time did have high hopes for them, thought that it put them right there with Boston for the for the best team in the Eastern Conference, and they not even close to the caliber of the Boston Celtics right now. It's been a mess. They did have elect to hire a head coach, a rookie head coach at that, in Adrian Griffin, who they let go after a 30-13 record, which was kind of, which sounds crazy, right? When you have a 30-13 record, shouldn't your job be essentially secured? Shouldn't you have the pathway to just finish up the season, and then the ownership can elect to make a move after the season? But unfortunately, that's not what happened. They elected to go a different direction and bring on Doc Rivers. Yes, that's right, Doc Rivers. They got him from the call booth, and he is now coaching. They are currently 3-7 under Doc Rivers. Now, it is worth mentioning that there are some key injuries that have happened. Dane's missed some time. Middleton got hurt with an ankle injury too. So I don't know if we could read too much into that. I'm not the biggest Doc Rivers fan as a head coach, just because of his track record with losing multiple 3-1 series in the playoffs and multiple 3-2 leads as well. That just doesn't sit right with me. So I wasn't a fan of that move. But at the same time, when you're trying to appease a player of Giannis Antetokounmpo's caliber, and you elected to go with a rookie head coach who Giannis clearly signed off on, because there's no way that they're going to make a move like that without getting the approval of the superstar, Giannis. They elected to go with a rookie head coach, passed up on Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse is killing it now in Philadelphia. They elected to go with a rookie head coach and Adrian Griffin. Him and Giannis clearly has some tension going on, and it didn't work out. And here we are now. Well, so they didn't really have a big pool of coaches to select. So if it didn't work out with a rookie head coach, you want to get a coach who's experienced, who has a championship on his resume, which Doc Rivers has. But I'm just not sure he can prescribe the Denver Nuggets with what they need, and that is to be in legit championship contention, to keep their star player happy, so he does not elect to force his way out of Milwaukee by demanding a trade. I like Giannis. I like Giannis. I love the passion that he plays with. I think he's good for the game. I think it's great that he elected to stay with Milwaukee and sign with them when he did do that extension, because it just gives more balance to the league, with a lot of players flocking to big market, warm weather cities. But Giannis has elected to stay in Milwaukee, a small market, cold weather, cold seasonal weather. But he elected to stay, and I think that that's good for the league, because it gives balance and it gives Fitz more parity. But I wasn't really a fan of what's transpired recently with him. I want to say getting Adrian Griffin fired, but I mean, he didn't want him there, so they're gonna do Bucks ownership and, you know, and the GM are gonna do what they have to do to satisfy Giannis, because he is a once in a lifetime generational talent that you can't like take for granted. So they're gonna do whatever they can, which is why they got Dame Lillard. Giannis wasn't gonna sign that extension without them making a move that he felt would keep them in championship contention Because remember there when they flamed out last year in the playoffs in five games against the Milwaukee Bucks. It is worth noting, though, Giannis did get hurt in game one, like about, what, basically in the first quarter, in the first 10 minutes, he got hurt and missed about a couple of games. He did come back, but, you know, they Bucks just couldn't stop Jimmy Butler. I don't know why. Bud refused to elect to throw different looks at Jimmy, and Jimmy was just torching. One of the greatest performances I remember in recent years in a playoff series. Yeah, he was just really in his zone. So, I mean, there are some – you have to put some things in context with them losing in the first round, but I think that Giannis was just frustrated, doesn't like losing. I mean, we've seen what he mentioned in the post game when he mentioned, just paraphrasing, that that the season wasn't a failure. And everything. But you know, that got to Giannis going home that early when he wanted to, you know, really like wants to add more hardware to his jewelry case. So now they have Dame Lillard, and they have been atrocious on defense. No one thought that they were going to be as good as they were on defense when you swap out Drew Holiday for Dame Lillard, but my God, is that they are just abysmal on offense, or rather on defense. The offense is pretty good, although it's been slipping since Doc has arrived. Well, the defense has gotten a little better, but their defense has been bad. And I mean, as much as people love Dame Dollar, and I respect him, one of the best players in the NBA, first ballot Hall of Famer, defense isn't really his special. It's not his specialty at all. It's more offense. So when you elected to, you know, to move on from Drew Holiday, who's one of the best defenders in the league, I'd probably say top three, in my estimation. You have to expect that there was going to be a slippage, but this slippage has been dreadful, and I just think that the Bucks are just too small. It's too small of a backcourt with Beasley and Dame for them to realistically have a chance to win a championship this year. And they're old, too. Old. I looked at some of their core players outside of Giannis, so I believe it's 29, so he's not 30 yet. But you look at the likes of Dame. Dame is, I believe he is 33. Middleton, 32. Brook Lopez, 35. Outside of Giannis, they have a relatively old core. So I don't know. Like, they're older. They're not really athletic on the wing to guard the best players like Jason Tatum or Kevin Durant. They are pretty old. So they just have a lot of holes that you wouldn't expect a championship team to have. So now it's just like, were they really better off keeping Drew Holiday and trying to run it back, or were they better off trying to appease the Greek Freak and bring in Dame Lillard so they can, you know, possibly win a championship? I don't see it this year. And I don't know if Doc can, you know, turn everything around midseason. I've seen, you know, him taking some criticism from particularly JJ Redick on First Take about him making excuses, blaming, like, for example, blaming that dreadful loss against the Grizzlies, about the players, you know, just checking out mentally, saying that they were already in Cabo. And he said, hey, Doc is never really held accountable. He's always, you know, makes excuses, blaming players, doesn't really take ownership for when his teams, you know, don't meet expectations. Now JJ has gotten a lot of pushback, but I tend to agree with JJ. I mean, Doc, I think, has made a lot of excuses. I remember back when you have to mention, I'm a Lakers fan, so I remember back when 2010, when they lost the NBA final to the Lakers, and he was essentially saying that, well, they didn't have Kendrick Perkins when I believe he got hurt. It was in Game Six when he tore his, was it an ACL or Achilles? I can't remember the injury, but either he tore one of those, so he couldn't obviously play in Game Seven, and he was like, you know, using that as an excuse. And some people were pushing back. I remember Metal World Peace pushing back, saying, "Well, like they didn't have Bynum last time they played." So I mean, Doc kind of has makes excuse. And hey, when you load like the most 3-1 leagues in NBA history, there's going to be some, you know, there's going to be some skepticism coming your way. And when you try to deflect, it's not really going to be a good look. I know Doc won the championship. I will say that that was in 2008, a season in which there was no other big three in the league, and Minnesota did a favor, in particular, Kevin McHale did his homeboy Danny Ainge a favor for trading Kevin Garnett to the Boston Celtics. I thought when that trade happened that they were at minimum, going to make it to the conference finals with KG, Pierce, and Ray Allen. They were minimum going to make it to the conference finals, and they ended up winning the NBA championship. But a lot has transpired. That was what, 15, 16 years ago, basically. This is a league where, you know, kind of like Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately? And Doc hasn't done a lot, so I'm not really too confident about the Bucks' prospects this year. And quite frankly, I don't know if I'm confident in their prospects going forward. They don't really have a lot of assets and room for improvement, right? And again, Giannis does have to, you know, kind of take some blame in this case. Because if this was LeBron James, a lot of people criticize LeBron James for his power that he has over organizations. And when everything goes right, everything's good. He's the king. He's the best. But whenever things go wrong, it's never his fault. It's always LeBron James need more help, or the organization has failed LeBron James. That's usually the narrative, all right? So Giannis played a role in AJ Griffin being gone. And I remember the first game when the Bucks played without Adrian Griffin in the pregame. The teammates were dancing around in a circle. And it was just a bad look. I didn't like that. And I'm happy that Dame Lillard wasn't involved in that. And that makes sense, seeing that he's more of a veteran. I believe he came in about 2 years earlier than Giannis did. But that just wasn't a good look, because again, if that was LeBron James doing something like that, that would be on all these talk shows in the morning, and he would be getting killed from all angles. Everybody would try to come at him and probably come at him a little bit too far with some of their critique of him if he was in that situation. But that was Giannis, so Giannis has to wear that, I feel. And this comes to the territory. So I just want to see what they can do. I mean, clearly, I think, like I mentioned, Boston, I think, is clearly the head of the pack in the Eastern Conference, with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Jrue Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, I think, is essentially the X factor for that team. He is able to unlock so much in that offense. I just want to see, can the Bucks, you know, piece it together for this final stretch? Can they, you know, close the gap and possibly, I mean, they're not going to catch Boston. Boston, I think, is going to run away with the best record in the Eastern Conference as well as the league. But can they at least get to the second seed? So if they were, you know, to meet Boston in the playoffs, it would be in the conference finals. Time shall tell. But we will see, because I mentioned New York is looking really good too as well, with Jalen Brunson and them. And hey, the door is still open for Embiid to come back, right? He did have surgery, meniscus procedure. He hasn't been ruled out for the year. And I think that the 76ers are approaching this season as if he is going to come back at some point. So we have to always get to keep them in mind, because Embiid, when he was playing, he was essentially going to run away with the league MVP, but he's going to miss too many games to qualify for the award. But they did get Buddy Hield at the trade deadline, which is a great move. So if Embiid can come back too, that's going to be an obstacle that Milwaukee would have to overcome in order to get to the conference finals. So I just don't. So many question marks about them. Again, but we shall see. All right. So this season has been interesting so far. I'm really, really happy that the NBA elected to implement the rule, the 65 game minimum rule, for players to be eligible for, you know, awards, honors, and such as MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, and also all NBA honors as well. Because it's really gotten ridiculous, man. I remember when players would play, you know, at one point a player that won MVP that missed the most games was Allen Iverson back in 2001, and I believe he missed like 11 or 12 games, right? Now you got players like being eligible for the league MVP, missing like 20, 25 games. That just doesn't sit right with me. I mean, at some point you have to playing, being available and playing does matter. So I'm happy that the NBA implemented that rule. And of course, load management has been an ongoing discussion for the past several years. And it's just been getting ridiculous where star players are sitting out when they're healthy, just for rest and resting during prime time games, games that are nationally televised. You just can't. How could you sell a product when marquee players are sitting out? Now, if they're injured, obviously that's different. Things happen. So if a player isn't available due to an injury, it's a tough break, but it happens. So they're excused. But just to be sitting out and, you know, trying to avoid playing back-to-back, I just don't like that look for the league. So I think that it just had to be done to implement that rule because, again, it's all about public perception, and it's not a good look when the average consumer spends their hard-earned money to come to a game. And let's just say, I don't know, LeBron James. I'm just using him as an example because he's the face of the league. I'm not trying to, you know, pick on LeBron. But let's just say the average player, or the average fan, rather, come to a game with their kids, a couple of their kids, and, you know, their favorite player is LeBron James, and he's just not available that night because he's resting. That just, it's not a good look. Now, in LeBron's defense, even though I said I'm not coming at him particularly, I'm just using him because he is the face of the league and a star player, but he's over 35, and I think that that rule, there's some leeway for players who are over 35 years of age, which makes sense because LeBron James is in year 21. He's had so much mileage on his body that if he's a sit out of a game due to rest here or there, he should be excused. He's done enough in his game. He's put the work in. He deserves it. But these players who are just like 7-8 years into the league, just sitting, never does it sit well with me. And I think the fans were fed up. Clearly, Adam Silver was fed up too. And we have to also take into consideration that the league is up for a new deal. So when they're trying to pitch this product to, you know, linear television, traditional broadcasts, or even streaming platforms, they have to make sure that their players are going to be available to play, or that the players are going to play so they can get the most money possible. Because at the end of the day, this is a business, and money is essentially the bottom line. I see people talking about, hey, we should just sort of shorten the NBA season. They're never going to shorten the NBA season because first, if they shorten the NBA season to, say, 65 games, that's going to take money out of the owner's pockets, which will essentially take money out of the players' pockets. And they're not going to want to do that. They don't want to give back money. Right. They want to make money, and rightfully so. They're the best of the world at what they do. A lot of them, they sacrifice so much, you know, sacrifice spending time with family and being around for, you know, milestone moments, whether it's their children's recitals or graduations, birthday parties. A lot of them sacrifice a lot and miss that time. And so they deserve every dollar that they get. But at the same time, you got to be available. I mean, players back in the day, this wasn't, I don't know how many people listening that are the age range of my listeners, but
You can look back at players like in the 80s and the 90s. I mean, how many times players were playing 75 games and up or playing all 82 games? Like now it's just like so rare to see that players playing 75 games and up. It's really, really sad, and I don't like it at all. And especially like I mentioned, the average fan who spends their hard-earned money, because these NBA tickets are not cheap. Man, I remember I was looking up those tickets for the Denver and Celtics game, and lodge was about what, 350 for lodge? That's crazy to me. So hey, I gotta side with the fans, and the league. The players gotta play, and it's not just the player. I mean, actually, you know what? I don't want to put it all on the players, because obviously it is the teams are culpable too, and the fact that a lot of them look at the schedule in advance when the schedule comes out and already have the dates selected as to when star players or key players are going to rest, and that's just bad. I mean, I know that there's so much data out there from since the past 20 years, but at the same time, medicine has gotten better, nutrition has gotten better. There's so much more data. There's so much more medicine. There's more emphasis now on working out than there was 20, 25 years ago. So I feel like they can that they'll be okay. And the science doesn't necessarily really prove that load management decreases the chances of injuries taking place. So I'm happy that the NBA did put that 65 game rule in place, because hey man, players gotta play. And the NFL players, the NBA Players Association did sign off on it, so they can't really blame the owners. Something just had to be done, because I love the game and I don't want to see the product a diluted product when I watch turn on my TV. I want to see the best product that I possibly can see. Now, I mentioned, if you're injured, you're injured. It is what it is. Sucks, but at the same time, you have to just accept that. So I mentioned I would, who I think would come out of the West. I'm sticking with my preseason selection, for my Western Conference champions. It's the Denver Nuggets, man. Nikola Jokic, is the best player in the world. Him and Jamal Murray, the best tandem in basketball. I think they have the best starting five in the NBA. I know a lot of people will go with Boston, and I'm not mad at that, but I still think that they have the best starting five. I think that they have the IQs there with the cohesiveness and the shot selection. I like, and their efficiency. I would go with the Denver Nuggets as being having the best starting five. I mean, that we saw the game earlier this year with Boston and Denver. I mentioned that was a great game and a great litmus test for both teams to see where they're at. And Denver did come out on top in a hostile environment in Boston, and when which Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray just went off on the Boston Celtics. So I like them coming out of the West still. Clippers, I think, I'll probably be my number two pick if it wasn't Denver. But at the same time, I just think that they're a little too undersized. They haven't really addressed the Nikola Jokic problem. But then again, most teams in the NBA haven't. But yeah, I definitely like the Denver Nuggets. I know Minnesota's on the rise. They got a lot of bodies though at Nikola Jokic. They got Ant-Man, who's really emerging as an elite player in this league. I just think that they might be a year or two away from being legit threats in the West in terms of, actually reaching the NBA Finals. Can they possibly get to a Western Conference Finals? Sure. But I don't know that they can actually win it. Coming out of the East, I should say, my preseason pick was to have the Milwaukee Bucks representing the East in the NBA Finals. Huh, boy, was I wrong. It's not looking good at all. I think it's going to be the Boston Celtics, right? Like I mentioned, you got Tatum and Brown, KP, Jrue Holiday, Derek White. That's a solid, solid starting five. They essentially have been clicking on all cylinders all year. They are extremely hard to guard, especially with Kristaps Porzingis in the lineup with the ultimate cheat code, because unlike Robert Williams, he's able to stretch the floor. And because he shoots about like 28 feet, he essentially just makes defenders have to cover so much more ground. And the fact that they don't really lose too much defensively from what Robert Williams provided, because he is, if he's not going to block a shot, he's definitely going to alter it with his length. So it's just they are a real nightmare problem for a lot of teams in the league. And when they are clicking on all cylinders and moving that ball across and hitting threes, it gets ugly a lot of nights. That's my only criticism about them, about the Boston Celtics, though, is I think they rely a little bit too much on the three-point shot. They don't really like try to get the best shot, but instead settle for the three. That can possibly come back to haunt them in a playoff series against the likes of a Miami. I believe Miami is 0-3 against the Celtics this year, but at the same time, I'm not going to really judge Miami by their regular season success. I'll just wait for the postseason. I think they earned the right. I think that they can provide a problem for them if they're not hitting their threes. So it's going to be interesting, but I think the Boston Celtics and the Denver Nuggets would be the teams that are going to be in the NBA Finals. And I would pick the Denver Nuggets, who I went with in preseason, to repeat. Because again, they have the best player. I think they have the best starting five. They have a two-man game that is just virtually unstoppable with Jokic and Murray. They got length. They can play. They get stops when they need to. They're not necessarily a lockdown team, but when they need to, they can get stops with the likes of KCP, Aaron Gordon. I think Michael Porter Jr. has, you know, improved on the defensive end over the years, and he has the length too to the, you know, disrupt players, make players feel like get uncomfortable. And of course, Aaron Gordon is just crazy strong. We see what he did with Kevin Durant in that series last season in the semifinals, in the conference semifinals. He really made it difficult for him. He got his points, but he wasn't himself from an efficiency standpoint, and that's key. When you take a superstar player, they can get their numbers, but it's all about how they get their numbers and are they as efficient as they usually are. Because you're not going to ever stop a player of Kevin Durant or, you know, Jason Tatum's stature. You can slow them. You can hope to slow them down and make them work hard. And I think that Denver has the pieces in place to do that to most teams in the NBA. So, yeah, that is it for what I'm looking forward to in the NBA season. And I wanted to give you my thoughts on who I think would be in the NBA Finals and who would win.
And that is it for this episode. I thank you guys for listening. And if you haven't already, be sure to hit that subscribe button, as this podcast is available just about everywhere you listen to your favorite podcast at. That includes Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and several other platforms as well. And also, please, if you haven't already, subscribe to the YouTube channel, Mr. Vincent. Again, that YouTube channel is Mr. Vincent, where you can also find this podcast as well. This episode should be up on there within the next 3 hours, so be on the lookout for that. And you can also follow the IG page for the podcast at the Mr. Vincent Pod. That is at the Mr. Vincent Pod. And if you like to follow me, my personal page, IG and X, at Mr. Vincent 13, again at Mr. Vincent 13. So that's all the time have for now. For all my wrestling fans, I am looking to put an episode up this weekend recapping the Elimination Chamber that's taking place on Saturday, so be on the lookout for that. Until then, everybody have a great weekend. Stay blessed, be safe, take care.